Good morning. It's wonderful to see many familiar faces and such a warm welcome from all of you. I thank God for the opportunity to be here with my children for the first time. It's for their first time to be here with me. So I thank God in a very special way for that and for all of you. From the outset here, I feel compelled to say that in this sermon, I don't have the acumen, the intellect, or the vocabulary to preach what I'm about to preach. And certainly I don't have the time that would be sufficient for me to cover everything. And I think this is every preacher's dilemma. On our best days as preachers, we are an enigma. We champion truths that are higher than our own understanding. And we proclaim principles that are often higher than our own conduct. On our best days, we are an enigma. And sometimes, as Charles Spurgeon said once, we minister with a broken instrument because the calling to preach is a calling that is fulfilled by the heart. It's a work of the heart. And when your heart is broken for one reason or another, when you are struggling with life, when your marriage is falling apart, when your children are struggling, when you can't make ends meet, how do you preach? You have to preach with a broken instrument. You have to work with a broken instrument of the heart. But I praise the Lord for his grace and for his mercy. And so it is my prayer this morning that as I throw myself at the foot of the cross, that God, in his mercy, will have his way. We're going to be considering together this morning a very important topic. And the text is Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. We'll combine those two verses together, where the Lord God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion," he says, "over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so the Bible tells us that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. We're going to be considering together God's number one frustration with man. Let us pray. Lord, I pray now that you will speak to me and speak through me, and that your spirit might fill our hearts, open our eyes, that we may behold the wonderful things that are found in your word. Let this book live to us, O God. Show us ourselves and our sins. Show us our Savior and the salvation that he offers to us all, the forgiveness which he purchased through the cross. And let your word transform our lives, that we may be conformed more and more to your image. Be gracious to each one of us, attend to all of our needs, and please mercifully forgive us all of our sins. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. These verses that we're considering together this morning are very familiar to all of us who have grown up in the church and know something about the Bible. But that is the very reason why we have to be very careful in addressing or seeking to understand what these verses mean, because as the saying goes, familiarity brings contempt. And you believe, as I do, that every word that is in the Bible has been inspired by God. And it is profitable for teaching, for correction, for rebuke, for reproof, and for training in righteousness. So that we men and women of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. And so God wants to speak to us this morning through this word. And perhaps it's something new that you need to hear, or something that is already you already know, but you need to be reminded of. And so I pray that you will open your heart, even as I open my heart, to his will. These verses leave me speechless. The God, the great God of heaven, who by his very voice called nothing into something. The God whose thoughts are able to create so he cannot think carelessly. His mind can destroy, and so he cannot have any loose anger. This God who takes molecules and forms them into whatever he pleases by the majesty of his own mind. This God now declares, having made the earth, the light, the air, the land, and the plants and the birds and the heavenly bodies and the animals, he now declares something that leaves me absolutely speechless. He decides, and he could have called perhaps upon the birds and made them intelligent creatures. He could have called any of the other animals that he had made and made them intelligent creatures that he could relate to. But God decided to do something absolutely special. He says, I am going to make a special creation. This will be so special to me. The human race is God's unique creation, unlike any other. And I ask, why and how? And God said, this is not just anybody talking. God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. Are you with me so far? Are we together? I don't want to lose anyone here. God decided to make us like him. And I want you to say this with me. God made us to resemble, to reflect, and to reveal his character. All right? Those three R's. To resemble, to reflect, and to reveal his character. So you and I can say, I was made to resemble, to reflect, and to reveal God's character. Can you say that with me? I was made to resemble, to reflect, and to reveal God's character. Do you believe that? You were made to resemble, to reflect, and to reveal God's character to the world. This is marvelous to me, that God would stoop down to reach into the dirt and breathe life into it, massage it with his own hands, and bring forth a creature like himself. Because he wanted us to be like him, the great God, the mighty God, the intelligent God. The all-powerful God said, let us make man in our image. I'm left speechless by this very concept. But then my mind becomes really disturbed the more I think about this, because God wants us to be like him. But I am disturbed because as I look around the world, even right here in our environment, in our community, as I look at the human race, I ask myself, does the human race, do we want to be like God? That's a question that bothers me. The divine mind, the great creator, the indescribable Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, decided to do something special to make us like them. But I see a problem here, and it upsets me. I'm upset by this problem, for one would think that if this God of the universe would compliment us by wanting us to be like him, that there would at least be a craving in us to be like him also. But then I move to the third chapter of Genesis, and there I find a very sad story. Genesis 3 verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field, the Bible tells us, that the Lord had made. And the serpent begins to speak to the woman. Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any of the tree of the garden? And the woman gets into a conversation with the serpent here. And the woman says, oh, we can eat of any of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God has said to us that we shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And we're not even allowed to touch it, lest we die. And then the serpent says, ah, don't believe that. You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like what? God. And I say, stop right there. Stop. That's a lie. They were already like God. God had already made them like himself. And now I see something that is a problem. Because the first sin, listen carefully, dear brothers and sisters. The first sin involved Satan offering you what you already had. Have you ever thought about that? You shall be as gods if you know good and evil. But I just read the text, Genesis 1:26, where God says, let us make man in our own image. God had already done this. So the first sin involved man's rejection of that God-likeness that God had already given him and trying to find another image. I want you to think with me about this. We have a problem right here, and we have now a frustrated God. He gave us a mind like his. And if you just stop for a moment and think, can you imagine with me the height to which man would have risen had he not rejected what God had already given him? But we rejected that. And so the frustration in the Almighty God begins, and God is frustrated. I gave them everything I could get them. They are as much like me as they could be, and that's not enough for them. But they've got to reach for more. And dear ones, if we are honest with ourselves, we must acknowledge that sin in our hearts begins when we decide to be something that God didn't make us to be. And that's a problem that we have to deal with as human beings. The problem is that mankind has rejected God's original gift. We were made to be like God. And this problem now continues to develop. After Genesis 3, you go to Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Only one son wanted to be like God. In Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God and the daughters of men. Now one part of the human race wants to be like God, but the other part doesn't. Again, Genesis chapter 6, you see Noah and the antediluvians, very smart people, but God could not find but one family that wanted to be like him. And so he says, I'm going to wipe them all out. And God is like scuffling now. He says, I tried with Adam and Eve. They didn't want it. I tried with Cain and Abel. Cain didn't want it and killed his brother who wanted it. I tried with his antediluvians before Noah, and they didn't want it. I tried during the days of Noah, and they didn't want it either. So I'll start afresh. He could only find one family that wanted to be like him. Are you beginning now to see this growing frustration in heaven? God is frustrated. What more can we do for them that we haven't already done? We offered them our usness, our likeness. We offered them our glory. We offered them our majesty. We offered them our intelligence. And they said, no, we want to be and we want to do our own thing. And every time you've gotten into trouble in this world, every time you've gotten trouble in your own life, if you are honest, it has been in a moment when you are trying to do something or to be something that you were never created to do or to be. God gave us his image. You have his image. What else do you want? Isn't that enough for you? What's wrong with the human race, I ask? So after the flood, God said, I will make another start. I'll pick one family, Abram's family. I'll make him the father of the faithful, the ones who want to be like me. But even with Abraham, he had problems almost from the beginning. Abraham was a liar. So was his son Isaac and Jacob. All liars. You see, God, everything that God can try, he's trying. He has now picked a family. And now the descendants of Abraham, the 12 sons of Jacob, and they don't want to be like God either. And every time God tries, he finds in the human race this tendency to do their own thing. Look at the results of us doing our own thing. How does it look to you? We have many people who are crooked, sin-laden, broken in so many ways, lying people, dishonest people, warlike people, broken people. How do our choices look to you? How are we doing? He offered us a planet that never had any problem at all. But look at the problems that we have created for ourselves. He offered us the very best that he could give us. And we kept saying, no, 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 not us. We don't want that. He gets the sons of Jacob out into the wilderness, having delivered them from Egypt, from bondage to Pharaoh. And then he starts breaking it down for them in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. He says, eat right. Exodus 13, worship right. Exodus 33, come before me in the right way. He even taught them how they are to approach him specifically. But they kept messing it up. They kept distorting his truth, his word, and rejecting his purposes for them. And I ask, why? Why must we as human beings not accept the basic thing that God gave us? In the Ten Commandments, God gave to the children of Israel his law, to show them his will, to be a sign of his relationship to them. In Leviticus, he told them to be holy, even as he is holy. And God kept trying his best just to find some people who were willing to be like him. Friends, God wants some people who will be like him. People who will show forth his image, his character, his love, his kindness to the world. If I can just find somebody who wants this, who is satisfied to be as they were created to be. So God doesn't give up. He keeps on trying. And he sends the prophets. He sends witness after witness. But during the time of the judges, if you know your Bible, during the time of the kings, the people kept reverting back to their old sinful ways. We're very interesting beings. Human beings are very interesting to me. We are always scuffling to have, to possess, and to attain that which doesn't belong to us. And we miss the simple and most fundamental thing, that when we were born, when you were born, the image of God was placed on you. Do you know what is the purpose of religion? The purpose of religion is to develop that God-likeness in you, that image of God in you. We don't do certain things as Christians just to be different. We know that we have a treasure inside, which is God-likeness. We have the image of God in us and on us. We have a pearl inside. This is precious to us. Godliness or God-likeness. This is a diamond. And so your life and my life is to be spent developing that image until one day you and I can glow so much that people looking at us can say, there is a child of God. Look at the gleam in their eye. Look at the spring in their step. Look at the straightness of their back. Look at how they hold their chin up. Look at the straightness of their character and their conduct. That's a child of God. And so I challenge you this morning to accept who God made you to be as he has made you to be. Black, white, yellow, red. He doesn't care what color you are. He put down inside each one of us his image. And he wants us to find that image. And you ask, well, how do I find it? Study his word. As you study his word, you will learn more and more about the character of God. The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. As we look in the word of God, we get to know who God is and what he wants from us. How do you find this image? How do you find his will for you? You pray and you seek him day by day. Lord, show me your will for me. How do you find it? You worship him like you're doing this morning. Privately and corporately, together, as we worship the Lord, he reveals himself more and more to us. How else do you find it? By serving him, doing things with him and for him. See, your whole life needs to be spent digging out the godliness in you, fighting off those things that smother God in you, smother the image of God in you. And so God decided, and this is so amazing, we serve an amazing, a wonder-working God. God decided, listen to this carefully, friends, since they don't want to be like me, I will go down there and be like them. Powerful. I've tried to make them like me. They don't want to be like me. Now I am going to go down there and be like them. I'm no longer going to wipe them out. I'm not going to stomp them from the face of the earth as they deserve. But since they don't want to be like me, I will become like them, and I am going to show them that even though I am like them, they can still be like me. They have forgotten, so I'll spend 33 years demonstrating to them how a human being can be like God. And so as Galatians 4 verse 4 tells us, in the fullness of time, in the fullness of time, friends, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. Why? So that we might receive adoption as sons. In the fullness of time, God said this, God said, the same Jesus who made the earth will now come and be like man. And I'm going to show them that human beings can be like God. So he came and he walked among us. He taught, he showed, he loved, he healed and he blessed. He served and he preached, hoping that we would see, oh, that's how a human being can be like God. Sometimes he prayed all night. Sometimes he suffered insult. But he wanted us to see that a man in flesh, a woman in flesh, can be like God. That he can cry out even when they're slapping him and spitting on him. That you can cry out, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is God-like. In 1 John chapter 3, the Apostle John writes, behold, see what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure. How marvelous. God is saying, even right now, you, every one of you, we all can be like Jesus. And when he is revealed, we shall be like him. Hey, finally, God's frustration shall be satisfied. Finally. And I'm not talking about in glory. Even right now, right here at Vancouver Bible Presbyterian Church, right here in this congregation, you can be like God. You can become patient. You can become loving. You can become kind. You can become a witness for Christ and stop the backbiting that you have been doing. We can do things right. Eat right. Live right. Sing right. Worship right. Be right, love right, do church right. Even right now, we don't have to wait for glory. God says, I have not given up. In spite of my frustration, I am carving out a people who can be like me. When I was in high school, I learned a song that captures this truth so powerfully. Here it is. For I'm building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise, who will move through this land by my spirit, and will glorify my precious name. Build your church, Lord, make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. God is building a people of power. He is making a people of praise who will move through this land by his Spirit and will glorify his name. And everyone who wants to be like God must say, yes, build your church, Lord. Make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. Even after Jesus came and started the Christian church, the devil started messing with that too. By the first century AD, some of the things that God had established The Christian church began to compromise. Then he sent the Reformation and started all over again. But the Reformation didn't go far enough. And today, he's still looking for a people who'll be walking and talking proof that God can inhabit human beings. Are you going to be one of them? We are to be walking and talking proof that God is here. We read together in John chapter 17 and verses 20 to 24. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying to the Father just before he is hung on the cross. He says, I'm not asking for these only, but also for those who are going to believe after them through their word, that they may all be one just as you, Father, and just you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world might believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, he says, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world might know that you have sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And suddenly, this text kicks me in the head and says, I ask the question, Lord Jesus, why aren't you praying that they should be doing this or that? Have you noticed what Jesus is praying for here? He wants us to be one and to be like him. I heard a preacher who said, there are three B's that most churches focus on. Now, I'm getting into a little bit of teaching here. Just bear with me. Three B's that many churches focus on. First is believing. Oh, if we could just get people to believe what we believe, then we've accomplished our mission. But the second B is, well, once we've gotten them to believe what we believe, then they can belong to us. So the second B is belonging. Believing, getting people to believe what we believe. And then, if they get to that point, then they can belong to us. They belong with us. And then the third B is behaving. We want people to behave the way we behave, to eat the way we eat, to dress the way we dress. And we do all of that. And many churches stop there. But then this preacher said, there's one B that is more important, most important than all of the other three B's. And that is becoming. If every congregation would focus their resources, their energy, their time, their talents on becoming more like Jesus, becoming more like God, that would take care of all the other three B's. Because then people would believe the right things, they would belong to the right group, and they would behave as God wants them to behave. Are you with me? But we've turned things upside down. We can get people to believe the right things. We can get people to belong to us. We can get people to even behave like us. But if that doesn't get them to a point where they are becoming more like Jesus Christ, we have failed. We want people, as a church, we want to be growing people who look more and more like Jesus, who resemble and reflect and reveal the character of God in increasing measure to the world. A church that is God-like, a church that is loving, a church that is accepting, a church whose doors are open to every kind of person in this city. That church becomes living proof to those who have no interest in being like God that there must be a God, because only a God can get all those people together under one roof, to get along with one another. Only a God can keep them from fussing and from fighting and from arguing, even in the church. Someone said the church is a band of natural enemies who love each other because of Jesus. You and I have no other reason to be together like this in love and harmony except for Jesus. He's the one that binds us together and unites us together. And so when people walk into our churches, they must see a microcosm of heaven. People getting along, people loving one another, people who have decided that being like God is more important than anything else in the world. And so when people see that, they start packing our churches. It all started in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We frustrated God. And you and I better be thankful to God today that He did not give up. He actually believes that someone so crooked, someone so stubborn like me, He believes that even Fletcher Matandika can actually be like Him. Isn't that something? And He just keeps on working on me, carving me. Doesn't He work on you? He's working on me, chiseling, pruning, and pressing. Why? He says, I know you want to do this. But just like Eve did, you think that there is something else out there that can help you. But only God can help you become like God. Only God can help you become like God. That's why sometimes He sends in our lives unexpected trials. He's pressing us. He's pruning us. He's working. He doesn't give up. He's working on you right now, perhaps. And you know it and you can feel it. And for me, I've had to learn this lesson quite powerfully in the past year. As a preacher, I've preached the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God, and God has been saying to me, will you now hold on to that faith that you have so powerfully preached? Do you really believe that I am sovereign? Will you accept my will in your life? You've always been able to trust me, Fletcher, but now can I trust you with my decisions? I want to make you like me. I'm going to make you God-like. You have to become like Jesus, who on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the devil at that point thought he had driven a wedge between him and his Father, but his last words as he hung on the cross were, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And Jesus said by those words, I know the best place for me to be is in the arms of God. Can you say that this morning? The best place to be is in the arms of God. So I ask you this morning, what does God have to do to make you or to create in you a desire to be like Him? What does He have to do? It's in you. He created you that way. But what does He have to do? God has been aching to find human beings who will reflect His image. Are you going to be that person? If so, you will need His help. And so at this point, I want you to take a moment with me and just reflect. What is keeping you from being like God? What's keeping you? That's the way you were created. Is it some desire, perhaps, that has not been fulfilled in your life? Some habit that you need to break? Is it some person, perhaps, in your life that bothers you? Some relationship, perhaps, some anger, some hurt, some disappointment that you have not been able to yield up to heaven? Why don't you stop fighting against the way you were made? It's just as simple as saying to God, I am sorry. And sometimes it's just as simple as saying, I'm not going back there. Lord, I want to be like you. Help me. And God wanted it so bad that he came down here and became like one of us to show us how we can become like him. And if that doesn't move you, friends, and I don't know what else is going to move your heart. God, listen to this carefully, I'm closing now. God dumped his frustration on the cross to make you and me like him through Jesus. Praise be to his name. Amen. Let's pray. Receive our thanks, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can only say thank you that you chose, you decided in eternity to make us like you. Forgive us, O God. Forgive me for the many times I have fought against that particular purpose of yours. Oh Lord, I want to be like you, and I trust that my brothers and sisters here want to be like you. So Lord, we pray, help us to be like you, to resemble, to reflect, and to reveal your character to the world because of Jesus Christ, who came and showed us how a human being can be like God. Thank you for his death in our place, that in our place condemned he stood. He sealed our pardon by his blood. Hallelujah. What a savior we have. And we long for the day when our eyes shall behold his face. May you continue, O God, the work that you've begun in us and bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. So that when he appears, we have no reason to be ashamed. Be praised, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as you bless us, O God, we pray that you will please make us a blessing to the nations. For Jesus' sake, amen.